This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, D.I., did you check out any of the games on the NFL this weekend?
Oh, hell yeah. Yo, football is back. And we're back to seeing Mahomes slinging beautiful balls all over the field. Your friends at Manscaped are here to help you sling your beautiful balls all season long. With Manscaped's state-of-the-art tech, we'll have your weapon looking more loaded than the AFC West. Football may be rough,
tremendous,
but your ball care doesn't have to be with Manscaped. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. Meet the best value bundle yet for the Manscaped Pocket Rockets, the Platinum Package. At quarterback, the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, a wily vet who makes sure the unit is running smooth and scoring nonstop. With proprietary advanced skin safe technology, the lawnmower limits mistakes and protects the ball. Plus, it's waterproof, so the weather conditions are no issue, like the Bears and 49ers were this past week. At running back, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, built to bust through all the right holes. A hairless nostril just helps to keep a nose for the end zone. On the offensive line, we have our unsung heroes, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reliever Ball Toner, the Trent Williams and Corey Linsley of sack protection, standing strong to keep your boys fresh and clean through all four quarters. At wideout, the cleanest duo in the league, the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. With their rugged scent, they attract both the ball and the ladies in the crowd. Plus, these two leave your skin and scalp feeling more hydrated. That means more plays on the field and less water breaks. At tight end, the product that makes your end look tight, Manscaped's anti-chafing boxer briefs. A dedicated jewel pouch to increase ball handling, a cool, steady vibe thanks to their moisture-wicking fabric. On defense, there's only one thing you need, the aluminum-free ultra-premium deodorant. You could use that, Joe. With refined cologne-quality fragrance, it keeps sweat and locker room scents from making any ground. Plus, it dries clear, so the opponent won't even know what hit him. And to top it all off, we throw the best coach in the league, the Shed Travel Bag, my favorite, as a free bonus. Built to hold the team together, this travel size bag has a fumble-resistant zipper. This has got to be a Super Bowl-winning roster, but don't take my word for it. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped when you use the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-E-A-P-E-D.com for turning your player into an MVP.
And the great thing about this is the shaver is aerodynamic. The boxers are 100%. We all agree on this. The most comfortable boxers that we've ever worn. They've got a leather pouch, not some cheap pleather. And you can use it. Now, they're saying it's just for your nether regions, but you can use it under your arms, your chest, you know, your face, your head. Women can use it. So this is a great product. It's our best-selling product. And it brings, you know, anti-chafing, deodorant, you know, nose trimmer, ear trimmer. It's really a hell of a deal.
Let's not understate that Manscaped Weed Whacker to take care of your nose and ear hair, because there's not a bigger turnoff for a potential partner than your nose hair sticking out in their face. So take care of that.
Yeah, from Mr. Groom himself.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, very, very unkempt individual. You could probably use it more. Sure. But anyways, I will say this. This is our best-selling product. Support the show. Check it out. Keep your shit clean and trim and groomed. And you can get it all at manscaped.com. Boom.
All right, let's get to the mail, because we got a lot of mail this week. We got some interesting stuff. So, okay, so the mailbag starts off with, okay, this is from Sean Tijarina. Subject, what's up with Meltzer? What up, Conan Disco? Labor Day week in Chicago. Meltzer did a Q&A that my buddy wanted to go to. Mean greet happened before the Q&A. I asked him when he would be back on K100. He told me that he most likely will never do the podcast again. Interesting. Well, what is his issue? I'd like to see D.I. and Meltzer discuss or debate some of the things that have been going on in wrestling. Thanks for all that you've done throughout the years. Longtime fan, Sean. Dave, I guess Dave does not like it. I take shots at him on Twitter sometimes, and things, but so categorically about things he says sometimes. And I don't think he likes that. And I'm bringing the guy, bro, we're completely respectful to guests here. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't want to come on again. He's been on the show multiple times. It's been fine. You know, but it's like, if he literally doesn't want to come on the show because we disagree about stuff, that's not a good look for him. He should come on our show. We have a very influential podcast. We have a decent amount of listeners to this.
Right.
And he's one of the more influential voices in professional wrestling. And there's some things that I'd like to discuss it. Like, why is he down on a guy like Cross? You know, I'd like to discuss that with him. You know, why are you giving, you know, why do you think the work is this great these days? Like, you're giving unprecedented things during a period of time where I think the work looks kind of phony with the thigh slapping and stuff. It's like, I would want to discuss that with him, but I don't know why he doesn't want to, you know, I guess he just does not want to come in the show because he thinks we're, you know, maybe I'm toxic. I know him and Conan are still friends, but like, I don't think he wants to confront me on this. And I say, well, why? I'm not disrespectful or anything. I'm always very respectful to our guests, regardless of what I say or, you know, stuff. When they come on, it's like, let's have a respectful discussion. So I don't know. I don't, you know, if you don't want to come on the show, you don't want to come on the show. And that's just another long list of the dirt sheet guys that will not come, that will say, that will put their positions out there and will not confront a contrarian opinion to debate it. And it's a pattern in this community of the dirt sheet guys, and it's getting, and the fans are noticing it. You know, could come under, don't always just do friendly fire, friendly questions, friendly video, have people on and just discuss stuff with everybody that agrees with you all the time, because that's not healthy for the wrestling business when there's stuff that, like, notable people that have knowledge in this business that have been experienced in this business will disagree with some of the stuff you're saying and would like to debate your thoughts, and you won't debate them with us. So, you know, and like, the fans can see this and see that they're not willing to debate. And I'm like, I think it's problematic. And I think they should debate. There should be more healthy discussions in this community of people that disagree with each other. And it's like, we're not seeing that. And it's usually mostly from one side, because we're very willing to debate anybody that has a contrarian opinion to, you know, that disagrees with us. And the other side is like, they're not debating. So it's like, whatever, you know? So what do you think about that, Cody?
But what is it that the guy said that he asked Meltzer? Meltzer said, I'm never going on that show. Is that what he said?
Yes.
He said he told me most likely he will never do the podcast again. That's what the guy said he told him.
Well, look, Meltzer and I have had like a 30-year friendship, and he was kind of like an indirect teacher to me, and I'll tell you why. Because when I broke into the business, I wasn't smart. I didn't grow up, you know, wanting to be a wrestler.
Smart, Mark, a wrestler. You weren't a fan, right? You just got into it, right?
So I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So I really learned a lot about history and the business through The Observer. And he used to come on the show a lot, and so did Brian Alvarez. But then, just like Cody and Tony – they have issues with disco and won't come on the show, and they'll do it with if it's just me, right? But I disagree with ignoring people or not having civil discourse, because I think this, since you don't agree with me, I'm just not going to talk to you. That's become a societal, governmental, and now a wrestling problem. Right. That's no good. You don't get anywhere with that. And right. I actually told Dave, because I, the other day I said, are you going to come on the show or not? You know, I go, I told you, have we ever disrespected or ambushed you? I go, fuck disco. Just come on the show and speak your mind. If you disagree with him, just like you defend yourself on fucking Twitter, tell him what you think. You know, and he's all mad because I guess, and I didn't really ask specifics. I guess you said something about him and Triple H thinking differently, and he said we actually agree on what he said. I don't know.
So we can talk about that.
It's like, right. It's but you can't talk if you don't come on the show. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So, and you know, at the end of the day, it's like this, bro. All of us can share our thoughts on social media with the world. But when you do that, you allow others to like form opinions, which may be critical or negative. And expecting universal acceptance of everything you say or do is fucking stupid and naive. Everybody ain't going to like or agree with you. With your point of view, you don't just don't block them or cancel them unless they're being rude. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't understand that mindset. Does not jibe with what I'm about.
Right. Can I interject something here, D.I.? Because we mentioned guys who haven't been able to come on the show or don't want to. And we've talked before about MJF, who at one point wasn't able to come on the show. But I saw a clip of him today where he actually comments on you, Conan. Would you like to see it?
Let's hear it. Yeah. It's
about 2 minutes.
Boy, Joe's on top of things today here. He segued in that, Conan?
For a change.
Yeah. I like this new Joe. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Oh, this is the guy who this. Piss pause.
Who the fuck is this guy?
That's the guy from Barstool. That's the guy I was talking to you about that we should have on the show. We'll get him on eventually. I thought he quit. I thought he quit this podcast. I heard that this podcast, like, you know, but he's doing it again. So, but this guy is a college football aficionado, too. He calls himself the best college football handicapper in the world, supposedly. So, Can you go ahead?
So can I speak on that?
Yeah.
So this is my problem. No. This is my problem. And again, for the most part, a majority of the list, I actually thought it was excellent, and I agreed with a lot of the standpoints. And I even tweeted it, and I said, good job. My problem with wrestling Twitter is it's not real life. You guys will put people over on there that are legitimately garbage at fucking wrestling, aren't good at talking, are good at nothing, but they post, like, funny videos or some shit online, and you're like, that's the guy. Someone sign him, right? It's stupid. And then there's the other flip side where it's like, you need to be watching New Japan. You need to be watching AAA because this guy, or you need to watch CML because this guy. And then I'll watch it in full, not just a clip. You guys are watching clips and being like, this guy's one of the top 10 wrestlers in the world. Fucking is he? Watch the whole fucking match. And then with eye contact, not through a phone, with eye contact, tell me that they're better than me. Because they're not. Because nobody is. Because literally fucking nobody on the planet is better than me in the ring or on the microphone. And that's a fucking fact. Now, there are certain people I'm fine with being ahead of me because they actually earned it and they're actually that talented. I don't know who El Hijo del whatever the fuck is. Mm-hmm. And neither do you, and neither does anyone in this room. And I bet you neither does a majority of the people online that are going, man, that guy fucking slaps. You've never seen one of his fucking matches. You've seen clips of him doing dives. You've never seen a full match of his. Grady's a great guy, though. And if he works for Conan, I take back everything I said. I like him because me and K-Dog are cool.
There you go.
I think he's talking about Hijo del Fantasma there, right? So, yeah.
I think they were talking about the PWI ranking.
Yeah. Is that what he's talking about?
I think so.
Fair. All right. Well, interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, MJ.
I would like to get him on this podcast.
For sure.
If he can. For sure. Because we'd have a good discussion because I like it. I'm sure we probably share very similar views. Mm-hmm. You know,
depends on if he can.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to. I'd like to not train him, but I'd like to. You know, I'd like to give him some advice. I think the fact that Cross has been elevated to the point he is on the card at WWE that people should, like, if you're in the business, like you know, when I train people in the business, I tell people, it's like, I'm not going to teach you, like, how to get over. I'm going to teach you how to get hired and pushed because I know how to, like, to feed. I know things that feed into the people and the likes of the people that run wrestling. Like, I know what Don Callis likes. I know what Jeff Jarrett likes. I know what Conan likes. I know, you know, stuff like these are the skills that you need to do to impress these guys. So they're going to teach you, they're going to get you over and get you to the top, you know, which is things that, which is like things I teach. And I think I'm pretty, I have a pretty good track record in teaching people that with, you know, that have been successful, you know, so I don't know. And then people just like to bury their jobber enhancement talent, just all that, but they have no clue, like conversations I would have with professional wrestlers and telling them things. And they would just, you know, it's like I said, like I never learned anything in the business from like, you know, working with Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara. It's like, I learned working with Dutch and Jeff because like there were territory guys that have been in the business, like, and they just would tell me things that I never would have thought of. It's like, cause I've never been like a territory guy, like creatively, like me and Russo would be on the same page creatively, like angles and stuff. But like, that's just creativity. But like gaining knowledge of how this business works, it's like you learn from the guys that have like been doing it for years. I've been in there like 30 years now, you know, and I would think that people like, me and Conan, like everybody listens to the show. We give good takes and good advice. You know, so it's like I would like to get more prominent wrestlers on this podcast and talk with them and just give them things that maybe they haven't thought of before and that to like help them get over like the, you know, things that I see in them and stuff. So, you know, whatever. It's like you can't discount that, you know. Well, what do you think about that, Conan? Like, you know, I think we bring a lot to the table here, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you could do something with Joe, like if he was
Joe's
with,
can't,
you
work
know,
down. Joe,
you know, with,
Joe is our comrade.
If he teamed up with Luigi the pizza guy, but he was a cheesesteak guy, and they had like a feud
that would
over a corner, bro, over a corner, you might, know, cart.
They might get over some in Philly.
Go down. People like
definitely get over in Delco because
on our YouTube channel, people were impressed with the fact that we booked an angle with the pizza guy. Like we could just book it, like, right. Like he's delivering pizza to the ring.
Right.
You know, maybe
right.
Somebody didn't pay him; he owes somebody for the pizza to get rid of. So, like, yeah,
I think he's hilarious.
He is, but it's like
he's getting a lot of heat. But I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, just so you guys know, because I'm trying to win Conan over today.
You're not going to win me over today or any day, dude.
Well,
for you to win me over, you'd have to go on a long streak. And that means years of doing things correctly, not every now and then. But go ahead.
Well, I did just immediately DM MJF to see if he could come on the show. So hopefully that gets me some points.
Interesting.
Well,
interesting.
Bravo.
Yeah, if he does that guy, he does the Barstool guy. Why would he not want to do our show? You know,
can
he's
he?
Not gonna learn anything.
Because we have
he's
an
not learn anything from that Barstool guy.
Yeah, he'd be great here, bro. You love him.
A fan,
bro.
You know?
MJF's one of my favorite guys. He's one of my favorite guys in the business. He's hilarious.
Yeah, you can tell he's young. He likes sports.
Right.
He likes girls.
It's very outspoken. It's funny. He don't give a fuck.
Right.
He recorded, I think, the best drop I've ever had someone record in person. It was tremendous.
Oh, he has a drop on the show?
It was years ago at MLW, yeah.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
What up?
Yes, sir.
You know, we've been talking about Legacy Sports Nutrition Products for a while now with the boy Nick Aldis. And we know some of our K100 fans have been loyal customers. Today, I want to read you some actual reviews from real customers of LegacySubs.com on top-rated local, a verified third-party site that uses two-step authentication to verify each review. Are you ready to hear some of these reviews?
Yes.
Okay. Blake says, absolutely love the Legacy test stat. I feel like I have more drive and energy to power through my workouts. My sleep is also improved. Jonathan says, I was skeptical at first, but after going through my second bottle of Recovery PM as well as testing out X-Lean T-Assist and Test X9, I'm a true convert. Mm. Even after the most strenuous workout days, I sleep and recover fully the next day. We'll continue to support these products going forward and look forward to anything new. And then finally, Brandon says, let's go, Brandon. I've ordered from Legacy Sports many times. Their test stack is top-notch. I've seen an increase in energy and stamina in the gym. The customer service is amazing, and they go above and beyond to make sure everything is right. I had an address that pre-populated wrong in an order, and I needed to change it. That's an interesting word to use, pre-populated.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed it and was changed almost immediately and sent out the next day. I even received a personal email saying they would get that right out and appreciate it in my business. I'll be ordering from them for a long time and sending to all my friends. You will not go wrong with ordering from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Looks like Nick Aldis is probably busy babysitting the kid there and everything and has time to answer all these personal emails. Join the thousands of people that have leveled up with Legacy. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com and use code K100. That's K100.
That's code K100 at LegacySupps.com for 10% off.
Okay, next one's from Biden, the Johnny Cash, the subject is Biden and fentanyl. Hey, fellas, this past week, 18 attorney generals of different states issued statements urging the Biden administration to declare fentanyl a, quote, weapon of mass destruction. If Biden does this, then it will give the Department of Defense authority to help combat the issue. During Trump's administration, he wanted to classify the Mexican cartels as terrorists so he could drone them. Seemed like an excellent idea to me. What do you guys think about classified fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction and the U.S. military getting involved in the Mexican drug war? That's from Johnny Cash. I don't know. Whatever they do should not be off the table because, like, it's a serious problem. There's people that are dying. But, bro, the cartels are putting fentanyl in the coke. And all the coke people doing coke now are dropping dead because they're lacing with fentanyl.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's like it's really making the drug. It's fascinating that there is still a market for street drugs like this when people are maybe they're not aware or should be aware that they're lacing the shit with fentanyl. And you can die from shit that people your drug dealer's giving you.
I think people just tend to think, oh, that's not going to happen to me. You know, they look past it.
What do you think about this, Conan?
What did he say? He wanted the military to go into Mexico?
They wanted to classify fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. So and Trump wanted to classify the cartels as terrorists so he could drone them.
Right. Well,
you know, and
it is a bad idea, and I'm going to tell you why.
Let's hear it.
Because you must not understand Mexican dynamics as to all the years of me talking about it. Mexico is, for all practical and intentional purposes, a narco state. Let me explain what that means. That means everyone is entrenched in narcotics, from the president to the attorney general to the generals in the military to the military. Okay? Let me give you an example of how powerful they are. Chapo Guzman is in jail, right? Mm-hmm. And the president right now, his acronym is AMLO. Okay, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he went to Sonora in like some fucking remote village and he stopped to say hello to Chapo's mom. This was caught on tape, all right? Like, right. It wasn't like he was hiding it. When they caught Chapo's son, Ovidio, in Culiacan, if you remember, like 2 years ago, he let him go because afraid of the mass fucking destruction that these guys were going to cause. This is a billion-dollar industry. They have submarines, tanks.
Multi-billion dollar.
Right.
Yeah.
Multi-million-dollar businessmen. They have submarines, tanks, spy weaponry. They got fucking guys from Israel that they're fucking they got all this spyware shit. Bro, they got money to buy weapons from rogue nations like Iran or North Korea.
Not only that.
Here's the other part. The Mexican people would not support or put up with the United States military on their land because there's a lot of animosity and distrust due to years of the U.S. treating Mexico like shit. So good luck with that, my G. Okay? Right. What they need is an institutional makeover. They need tougher laws, longer sentences, maybe even the death penalty. But when you got guys coming in and getting out in less than 20 years, and you got guys that you bring them into jail and they let them out at night so they can go party, or you got guys that you bring them in and they fucking have mansions inside the jail cells, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Bro,
it's
you
like they're
you
arresting
cannot...
these guys for show, but right. Just giving them like you know, hey, right. you gotta go in our... You can't live at your home right now. We got to incarcerate you, make it look like we arrested you to make us look good. But here's your jail cell, and it's the governor's mansion.
Right, and you don't know who's tipping. You don't know who's tipping up the cartels. It could be the president, the vice president, the attorney general, a general. Somebody's going to tell them, and you're going to get ambushed, and there's going to be a lot of American lives lost there.
Right.
Very bad idea. Yeah.
All right, the next one is from
Let me ask you, Conan. If the cartels are amassing weapons of war like that, don't you think it would behoove the U.S. to try to get ahead of them and attack some weapons caches or whatever like that before they, you know, get more together and are really, you know, even more of a danger?
If you went in there and you start attacking them, you're going to have problem with the population because they're going to be like, we're an autonomous nation. What are you doing here? Who invited you?
Right.
And the population might even turn on them. that, bro, America is much hated in Mexico. Sure. Just facts.
Bro, it's 100%. Just look, bro, look at every single time the United States plays Mexico in soccer. It's a huge deal.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they throw in shit at the guy. Yeah, it's very bad. It's like, so it's like the old, you know, Russia versus the United States.
Everything cannot be solved with the military. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. Look at what happened in Iraq.
Vietnam.
Look at what's happening to Russia and Ukraine. Everything cannot be solved militarily, dude.
Right.
You're not going up against the military.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, next one's from Hank Beanie. And the subject is Jim Cornette is a coworker. Hey, guys. Jim Cornette is a man with a volatile temper and history of some really unhinged behavior. Some of the highlights are he spit in Ed Ferrara's face. He bashed out all the windows of Casey O'Connor's car. He was arrested for trying to kill independent wrestling promoter Terry Landell. And he gave death threats to Disco's good friend and partner, Vince Russo. Disco, I know you worked with Cornette for a little while. What was he like as a coworker, and did you ever witness any of his outbursts? Thank you. I was always cool with Cornette. I worked with Cornette and Impact when Vince was there. And I never saw any. At the TNA show, I did see him spit in Ed Ferrara's face. I was an eyewitness to that.
Away. Yeah.
I was right there. He came up and he cut a promo on him for Ed doing the Oklahoma, making fun of Jim Ross, the Oklahoma gimmick he did on TV, and at Jim Cornette never forgot about that, and literally walked up, cut a promo and spit on his face.
Hmm.
And Ed literally wiped the spit off his face, and really, really classy, Cornette, really, really classy. Like, that was his verbiage back then, right? The bashing at all the windows of Casey O'Connor's car, I never heard that. I never heard him arrested for trying to kill independent promoter Terry Landell.
Right.
Ooh.
And the death threats thing was that was Kenny Boland's kid tipping off Vince that he should get a restraining order order of protection against him because he might do something.
He slapped Santino Marella in the locker room and smashed out the windows and shit in his own car when he got ribbed and they used it in a segment.
Right. But I will say that this about Cornette is very, probably more so than anybody else, very passionate about protecting the integrity of the business. And that's been his shtick for a long time. And if you make fun of the business, he's got an issue with you. You know, and he will, like, cut a promo on you. He will slap you. You know, say he's very, like I said, he's very, you know, he's very, has a lot of, you know, convictions where he's very invested in, like, you know, like his beliefs. And it's like, you know, I never had any issue with him. As a matter of fact, we'd sit in the green room at TNA sometimes, and he's, you know, you've heard his podcast. He's an excellent storyteller. Like, when he tells a story, he's just very entertaining. Like, he's a great, very entertaining guy to be around. You know, if you listen to a guy telling stories and stuff, because, you know, he's one of the best promo guys in the business ever, in the history of the business, you know? But I never saw, other than the spit of that Ferrara's face, the other stuff, I have no clue. I never saw that. But what's your take on Cornette?
The only time that I ever saw him, which was, I thought was kind of weird, we were at a bar. I was with Nash, and he was at the bar cutting a promo about Russo to some fans. And I was just like, really, dude? But other than that, I've never, you know, I've always gotten along with him. We've never had any fucking problems. I found him very funny, very witty, and we thought a lot alike on a lot of things when we were, because I used to be in production meetings with him in Impact.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I always got along, which is weird to me because he won't come on the show and he won't answer me when I've reached out to him. And I'm like, do we have heat over some shit that I don't even know about?
I'm friends with Vince, and he's so invested in hating Russo,
right?
That I don't think that I just think his I think it's a misconception of like what like me, you know, something like, you know, like I doubt that he knows that we think very very we have very similar, you know, thought process on the business and the way it's presented on TV these days, and I don't know if he knows that, you know. I think he thinks I'm the Martian invasion guy and stuff like the silly stuff, but like I don't you know, I know he doesn't listen to us, and I know his co-host is not a fan of you,
Brian Last.
You know, the Brian Last guy. So that's why that like maybe he's not doing the show. So, and even though and Cornette has put you over,
right?
You know, on his show to while this guy is trying to bury you, you know. So it's kind of interesting that he won't come on the show. So next is some Larry Francis, and the subject is Super Calo question. Rewatching Cruiserweight matches on the WWE Network. How does Super Calo keep his hat? Thanks in advance. That's sincerely from a wrestling historian on Instagram.
It was sewed onto his mask.
Yeah, obviously. Isn't that funny? That guy actually thought that it was just a hat. It was wearing like, and then the hat never fell
right,
off.
Right.
Yeah. And that was his question.
Yeah. He must be. That's almost like when Joe asks, "Hey, let's talk about the hurricane."
Oh man, never gonna hear the end of
Next
this.
Is from right. Yeah. Next is from JP Scorp, and the subject is the Legend of Sting. Calling all WCW historians. I grew up in Hamilton, Ontario, which I say was primarily a WWF market, but I did get into the Monday Night Wars in the late 90s, just like everyone else. When I started tuning into WCW, it was, of course, around the time of Hall and Nash's arrival, along with the formation of the NWO. It was also around the time that Sting had just started appearing as the Crow Sting gimmick and transcending down from the rafters, which was super cool and intriguing at the time. But I can't for the life of me think or recall any really great standout matches he had in WCW TNA or WWE run. I'm not saying he didn't have any, and I've always been a fan of the gimmick and the Legend of Sting as an icon. I just don't recall any great memorable matches. Remember the hype of the match with Hogan and that Sting was finally going to get his hands on him, but the match turned out to be a flop. Is there any match you guys can recommend as a great Sting 4- or 5-star wrestling match you go back and check out? And while I have you guys, I thought I'd ask to add the same question to Conan if he could recommend a few top Lucha matches from any company past or present for people like myself looking to get into watching Lucha wrestling. And he spells it Luca. And a few great matches that represent the Luca style as a good benchmark for introduction to Mexican style wrestling. Thanks from the North, boys. Luca Libre. Luca Brasi from the Godfather, right? bro, Sting, that's the whole thing about like this. We're talking to this guy's like a work rate guy, probably a smart mark. Bro, Sting was fine. His matches didn't have to be 4 or 5 stars because the crowd was popping for everything he did.
Was super over. Crowd.
Super over. You don't have to put the effort in to risk injury and something.
Right. It's like Hogan. Right. He didn't have great matches. He was super over.
Right.
Duggan, super over.
Right.
Does that count for anything?
Yeah, but Sting, if this guy's looking for work rate or whatever, he always had great matches with Vader, with Cactus, Kurt Angle and Jarrett and TNA. And I thought his match with Hunter at WrestleMania was very good. You know, so there's a handful.
The one that I remember that I liked of him a lot is when he was feuding with Muta.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's good stuff, too. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, he was.
And, of course, matches with Flair. You know, matches with Flair, too.
There's your answer, Ontario, Canada guy.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Conan, the guy asked for top Lucha matches to help him get into it. Like, what would you recommend?
Eddie and Art again. What was it? The LA match? Eddie and Art against
Octagon and fucking Santo.
Right. Go check that one out.
Yeah,
of Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr.
Watch that whole show. What was it, When Worlds Collide?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know specific matches, dude. I'm not like that type of markdom, but I would say watch anything from Los Brazos versus the Villanos, the Fantasticos, the Gringos Locos, early Ray, early Psicosis, early Juventud, early Heavy Metal, early.
I'm gonna cut you off there though. I would say watch all that and then watch a Paraguayan match, who works completely different than those guys. It just comes out there and just. It's just like a Mexican guy with crow that just goes out there and fights.
Well, tell you what, me and Perro, we were selling out everywhere in Mexico. Those were not high work rate. That was very emotional, good storytelling.
Yeah, he was just punching. Did you guys beat the shit out of each other?
Right.
It was the concept of the match. Right. And the fans. That's interesting about Lucha Libre is that you're talking about like Lucha guys that are doing all this stuff with them, but like shit, look at the top of the card. The guys out there just brawling with each other. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah, we'll watch both.
Can I ask you a question, Conan? So, you've talked about the different stables and storylines you had in AAA after, you know, you returned there in the early to mid-2000s. What was the best stuff that you did down there during that run, you think, from like 2002 to 2010 or whatever?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Which one of the stables do you think was the better one?
I don't really know. They were all pretty hot, bro. Everything I did was pretty cool. Yeah.
He's been a heel down there for like 15 years, right?
Right.
Yeah. Next is from Josh Doan, and the subject is Biden's 60 Minutes interview. Thoughts on the Biden 60 Minutes softball interview? What's the deal with Biden? Is he in a bubble and none of his yes men are telling him what's really going on with inflation, crime, jobs, etc.? I believe he thinks everything is going great because his handlers are telling him that he and Info News Networks are saying I believe he thinks everything is going great because his handlers are telling him that and Info News Networks are saying it. It's so insulting and such a lie when Biden says he's created jobs after the COVID crisis. He didn't create jobs. People were forced to leave their jobs and returning to their jobs. American people are hurting instead of helping them. they he's saying everything is great and we have to give trillions to Ukraine. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. All politicians are all bullshit artists.
He's completely out of touch.
The right wingers, the left, it's like, you know, I'm when these guys speak, I don't believe anything they say. I just want to see your policies.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. Why is he out of touch?
Because during that 60 Minutes interview, the guy asked him about inflation, and it was clear he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand how bad it's hurting people. He's like, so it's 8.2%.
No, he does. He can't speak about it, though. That's the problem.
Well, he
you
makes him
make
look out of touch.
You can't make yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
no, what he said was, it's steady. It was 8.2, now it's 8.3. It isn't really growing exponentially. It's kind of staying steady, is what he said. How's that being out of touch?
Just the way he answered it, his attitude, his
you just
his
don't
perception.
Like him. Okay,
no,
and
I
that's
just,
a whole different
I
thing.
I never did.
No. You just don't like him. So
I never did,
it's
yeah.
very hard for us to have an honest discussion when you already off the top don't like somebody and everything they say you're going to disqualify them. I'm like fucking Disco. I don't believe in any politicians. They're all full of shit. They all have narratives that they have to say. He went on there and he basically was like, oh, yeah, you know, gas prices are down. Yes, inflation is up, but we've got job production. And you don't know what the fuck's going on because you can manipulate anything mm-hmm. to fucking fit your narrative. And it's a weird time we're living in because with so much information at our disposal, but yet so much disinformation that the American way now seems to be lie, cheat, and steal, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You get yours because I'm getting mine. Right. And it's a very weird time, bro. But, you know, I don't know how he's out of touch just because he's fucking 80 years old.
Yeah, he's not out of touch. He's clued into their narrative. Right. Bro, it's just like politics is this all narrative.
You don't think before he goes on that show, they don't go over
over and over.
He doesn't fucking look like a fucking idiot.
Of course.
Right. Of course. You don't think they hear the people saying, oh, he's getting senile, he's getting old, and they make sure they go over shit so he doesn't look like a fucking bumpkin? Of course.
Right.
So he's not out of touch.
Then his administration. His administration.
Administration is not out of touch either. Either one. You just don't like
you miss Trump. With the gas prices, right?
I don't care about you.
Well, here's the thing with the gas prices.
That's what
you. It's
say.
Like he can sit there, like he can tout, you know, lowering gas prices, but it's like, okay, it's fine. That's good for everybody because right. the gas prices are low. But like, I'm not going to pretend that like you're taking a victory lap because like, dude, you know, it's not like the gas prices rose. Well, when we started another comeback down,
let's be real. You know? Him and Trump both got fucked by COVID. I mean, nobody saw that coming. Nobody knew how to handle it, you know. And then they lied to the people because they didn't think we could handle it. And fucking COVID killed everybody. It destroyed. It really hurt Trump, and it really hurt him.
Well, the funny thing about that is that like, you know, Trump hired Fauci.
Right.
Right.
You know, so, you know, Trump's over that. And like, it's, but bro, this is a fascinating thing. It's like people.
He also hired the fucking Burr who turned on him.
Right. You know, so it's like, you know, so. So, all right. Next is from Justin Alcade. And the subject is Comcast buying Warner Brothers. Hello, Disco Conan Joe. Attaches a link that says Comcast might be purchasing Warner Brothers Discovery. My question to you guys is how will they impact the wrestling business if the two distributors of WWF and AEW are under the same umbrella? It's not good for AEW. Because if they decide just to keep one, they're going to keep the one that looks more professional and has better production. But I heard this thing is not even – they can't even start negotiating until 2024. So this is a story that's like that's gestating right now, but it's not going to come to fruition for another like a year and a half or once they can start negotiating. So I'll wait and see. But it's not – bro, I'm telling you, it's not good when, you know, when there's a lot of media – and then it's getting like media is constantly being bought up by you know singular entities like Comcast control like buying more like there's not a lot of like media choices up there. There's like six or seven guys that like run media organizations where it has trickled down. They're in charge of like a bunch of different media and stuff. And they, but having certain people controlling the media, it's not good. You know, I mean, you're not going to. If somebody controls the media, they're going to control what you see and hear, and like or they can do that because it's their company. They're like whatever's going on TV that's coming from the top, you know. So it's like I'm not a fan of it, but you know, but whatever. But it's definitely be good for
WWE
for WWE. Yeah. What do you think about that, Conan?
I agree.
Yeah. So the next one is from
AJ Vegas. Let's talk about AJ Vegas and his. football picks he sent us this week. Yeah. What did you think about
it? Go ahead. You want to go over those?
Yeah. I know he lost one college game and he won the rest. The Air Force game.
But that's a loss because that's a money line parlay.
Yeah. So he had to
win all of those. So that was a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about his pro
picks? He said he didn't intend for that to be a parlay, actually, when I spoke to him. But
it had to have been a parlay.
Yeah, you weren't going to win anything.
Right, of course not. Yeah.
And I believe I'm looking for the picks to be sure now, but I believe he was wrong on every one of the NFL games, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was all money line, too.
Yep.
So he had money line favorites, and I think they all lost.
Yeah,
AJ Vegas had
a tough week.
You stink. Yeah. Right? Yeah, he sucks. You got buried, AJ Vegas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you can keep sending your picks in, and maybe you're going to hit a hot streak, but this week you got felted.
Yeah.
So this is from AJ Vegas. It's somebody's baseball question. Hello, Conan, Joe, and Disco. I know you guys are all sports fans. I want to know what you guys think about Aaron Judge with his contract expired this year and him potentially getting a 10-year contract worth about $500 million. At the time of this email, he leads the American League in batting average, home runs, RBIs, and runs scored. I'm in discussions with people that think he's overwhelmingly the MVP, and I'm still in the camp that Ohtani is because he's excelling at an all-star level at two positions, which I think makes him more valuable. But like I can see the argument for Judge, but like I would think Ohtani is a more valuable player than Judge because he can pitch and hit at a very high level, you know, which is crazy if you think about it. What about you, Conor?
Yeah, that's very hard. You know, Ohtani's batting average ain't that high, but he does hit a lot of home runs. He's hit like 34, 35
and
home
RBIs. A lot of production.
Right, and he's won like 13 games. But, bro, when you look at Judge's stats, I mean, the guy's leading in RBIs, the guy's leading in home runs, the guy's leading in slugging percentage, the guy's leading in, I think, on-base percentage, and he's only one percentage point. He's tied with Xander Bogaerts from the Red Sox for second place, and he's only one percentage point behind the leader, the guy from Minnesota, Arias, or whatever his fucking name is.
Mm-hmm.
And, bro, he's like three home runs from breaking Maris's record.
Yeah.
I think you have to pick him the MVP if he breaks Maris's record.
To tack onto the discussion, the AJ Vegas thing, he picked the Browns, the Bengals, and the Raiders and did go 0-3 in his picks. God. So,
what a bum. All right. All right, here's the next one. Okay, get the coach.
You know what our thing is right now? Joe is Sami Zayn, and you're the Uso that likes him, and I'm the Uso that doesn't like him.
Very true.
Right. No, right. Look, okay, you're going to love this. Kokoni, get ready for this email, okay?
Yeah.
Get your kazoo out for this one. Right. Michael Kupach, because right off the bat here.
Boom.
Subject is Bad Beat. It's from Michael Kupach. And hello, gentlemen. I have a question for Disco, who I have learned is always right. Disco, I know you're at least... I know you are, or at least used to be, big into Texas Hold'em. Everyone has a story. What is the most BS hand you ever lost? Everyone has one hand that is burned in their brain, but they lost that they shouldn't have. What is yours? I love the show and can't get enough. My only complaint is that you guys don't bury Joe enough. I feel like he still has a shred of self-worth and self-respect left. I hope someday you guys can snuff that out. F the Browns, they're dead to me. Who loses to the Jets? And that's Michael from Cleveland. Joe, what do you think about Michael Kupach thinking that we don't bury you enough?
I thought we were buddies. He's turned on me, stuck the knife right in my back. I agree.
Conan, do you agree with Michael Kupach that we don't bury Joe enough?
I do agree with him.
Oh yeah, God. I do too. Whatever ounce of self-respect that you have left, we want to get rid of that.
Thank you. We will drain it. I appreciate it.
Michael Kupach thinks that. I'm not gonna. Bro, I've had any bad beats, a bad beat. Like I've been one outed before, and stuff, you know, whatever. So I've lost a $4,000 pot one time because I. I don't know. So it's tons of bad beats. Whatever. Michael. Next one's from Jason Turpin. The subject is EC3 versus Velveteen Dream. This is interesting. Hey guys, EC3 is recently on Russo's Sports Kita show and told a bizarre story about the Velveteen Dream. And basically, we're not gonna play the clip, but basically the story is Conan that.
Yeah, I read the story.
There was a party at his house, and there was a telephone in the bathroom that was recording people. He noticed it was set up to record people taking a piss, and he surmised it was Velveteen Dream's phone because, like, when Velveteen Dream went in, the phone was gone and something, right?
Right.
So when EC3 was in NXT, he hosted a house party where several of the wrestlers attended. EC3 said he found Velveteen Dream's phone hidden in the bathroom, recording the other wrestlers peeing. EC3 says he deleted the pee tape off the phone and confronted Dream about it. Assuming the story is more accurate than Disco's NFL picks, almost 0-4 so far this week, bro, Casey didn't cover the spread. I don't know what he's talking about. What do you guys think of the situation? What would you do if you caught another wrestler doing this? And thanks from Jason Turpin. Did you read the story, Cody, right? What are your thoughts on this? This is weird.
Well, definitely, bro. You never invited in my fucking house again. You don't do that fucking shit. That's disrespectful.
Right. Disrespect is perverted. Not just, right. just it's not disrespectful. It's just, yeah. Next is from Sean Burgess and the subject is Roman. Gents, hope all is well. I was watching the Logan Paul podcast with Roman this week, and there's no doubt he's the coolest mother effer in wrestling. No one comes close to him. He chops it for about an hour and does a fantastic job. He's a megastar in the making, so relaxed, chilled, and has such a good backstory, etc. Got me thinking about who could dethrone him that has anything near to him in terms of mainstream appeal, or at least potential for mainstream appeal. I can only think of Lashley, Drew, or Cross, who would translate into the mainstream as credible. What are your thoughts? Talks of Cody coming back and doing it just don't seem plausible to me. Thanks, as always, Sean from the UK. I think Cody could do it, and here's why. If Cody comes back as a babyface and gets really over and really gets the crowd, that will be a huge pop when he beats him. I think they would do that. Like, somebody has to come in. The problem with Roman right now is you have to have somebody that gets the crowd to believe that you can beat the guy. And, like, I think Cody can get that support because I think the fans really want to like him. Because, he's been super over ever since he came back from AEW. You know, so like, if they keep doing that with him, I absolutely think he could be the guy to do it. What do you think, Conan?
I don't know. I think they should have pulled the trigger with this guy Drew in Wales, just because right. they had one of the best houses ever.
Right.
Right. I'm not into Cody as much as they are, but the people really do like him, and so does the company. So I could see it being Cody. I could see it being Cross, and I'm gonna give you a couple dark horses. Okay. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Okay. Randy Orton when he comes back.
Right.
They like Randy. And here's a real dark horse. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Gunther.
Mm. Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, if Roman's a babyface, right? I would like to see the foreign heel take their, you know.
Yeah.
Next is Eddie Hogan. Somebody says, guess who's back? I guess you guys have seen it already, but if not, over the last few days has leaked out the WrestleMania 39 2023 Hall of Fame ceremony. We headlined by the induction of none other than Vincent Kennedy McMahon. There's absolutely no denying or debating that the single most important person to ever work in the wrestling business and likely ever will is Crazy Eddie. I mean, Vince McMahon.
What?
That's kazoo this guy. Eddie
and suspend him.
Yeah, suspend him for a week. I mean, Vince McMahon. If anyone has earned the praise, it's Vince. At the same time, the snowflake pandemic is spreading at record speed. Do you guys think that putting Vince into the Hall of Fame is just going to bring a world of controversial drama to the wrestling season, which at the minute seems to be nothing plain sailing? I think you're going to when this is announced, you're going to get the guy the dirt sheet guys that like to get themselves over, trying to, you know, virtue signal and complain to Vince, you know, and all this. But like I think the wrestling fans that have been watching wrestling for years and years and years will respect what he's meant to their lives. If you're a fan of professional wrestling. You know, you got to get, like, regardless of the guy's transgression, you have to respect what he's meant to like, putting on a product that you watch 52 weeks a year and, like, you're just completely invested in it. And I think, like, I think he deserves that respect regardless of his transgressions.
Would you agree it's a little weird and redundant for him to be inducted? I mean, he's Vince. Why do you need to induct him? He started the whole shit.
Right. It's like I said, if they're going to, it's like you respect like that. But like I've always said, I'm not a big fan of Hall of Fames, especially when they're literally in the WWE. There is no actual
real criteria. It's like,
there's no building you can walk into where the Hall of Fame is there.
Right.
Well, besides that, it's a lot on, you know, a popularity contest. Who gets, you know, do they want to market a video game or somebody's coming back, you know?
Right.
And there's people in there that really shouldn't be in there.
I think there'd be more widespread faux outrage, though, D.I., because you have to remember his story was reported in the Wall Street Journal and all the major papers and news networks. You know,
you absolutely will get that.
It's going to be not just in the wrestling bubble, but I think they're going to get a lot of heat everywhere. And who knows if they can, you know what I mean? That's going to be tough.
Yeah, but it's his Hall of Fame. It's not like the Mount Rushmore. So, Next is from Matthew Hansen. The subject is Atlanta child killings, late 70s to early 80s. Hello. Question for DI. I was just watching Mindhunter on Netflix, and season 2 covered the child killings in Atlanta from around 79 to 81. Any recollections from that? Were you in Atlanta at the time? Thank you. Yes, I was. I have vague memories of it, but I remember it was on the news every night. Everybody was scared. People were scared, you know?
The reason I remember it is because I was in high school, and I was fascinated by the fact that anybody would kill children.
Right.
And I was fascinated by the fact that when they found the guy, he was pretty young. He was like in his early 20s, and his name was Wayne Williams. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And I also remember that one of the things that intrigued me a lot, because I'd never heard of this before, is one of the reasons they were able to find him is I think they found like dog hair in his car. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the same dog that he owned or some shit like that, you know? And right. I was like, wow, you could do that? You know, like that was, you know, I'd never seen forensic
like science. Yeah.
Right.
Next one's from C. Allen, and the subject is the world famous Atlanta Fantasy League. Hi, K100 crew. Hope all is well. Disco, we have a mutual friend in Vegas, Burns, who's a part of your world famous first of his kind Atlanta Fantasy League.
Who?
My friend Chris Burns is that I've been in my fantasy league for 40 years with. So this guy's a friend of his in Vegas, right? Right. The guy went this past weekend and watched the games with it, the Resorts World Sports Bar.
All right.
How's your team doing so far, and who are your most memorable fantasy hits and whiffs? Thanks to this account. My team is not doing well because I got Brady and Kamara, and Kamara's been hurt, and Brady's had his hurt receivers, and my kicker hasn't got any points yet, but my team is fine. My most memorable fantasy hits is when I picked up a little-known Kurt Warner after one – remember when remember that year that Kurt Warner, like, emerged? The quarterback went down for an injury in the last game of the preseason. And Warner, in his first game, went out there and threw like 3 touchdown passes, but nobody had any clue who this guy was, right?
Right.
And I went and picked him up. And I think he had like 48 touchdowns. He had like a ridiculous monster season, you know? And he was like Hall of Famer Kurt Warner from then on, but like nobody knew who this guy was at all. And like, I remember when the coach, I forget the guy's name, the coach, he was crying.
Dick Vermeil?
The quarterback got hurt. Dick Vermeil, right? He was crying, tears in his eyes, and We're just gonna fight hard, and we're not gonna give up.
Did he replace Leinart?
No. Matt? It was I forget the guy's name, but the starting quarterback. So whatever. Look that up, Joe.
I'm looking it up.
Who did Kurt Warner replace? Right. Okay, here we go. All right. We might have to suspend him. This is Jared Aviat again. Okay.
Right.
I'm already looking here at this email, and I'm thinking my name comes up a lot, so there might be a suspension coming up. Okay.
He replaced Trent Green.
Trent Green.
Oh, it was Trent. That's right.
Right. Who was like an all-star. Okay.
I don't remember.
Greetings, K100 fam. Thank you very much as always. Despite Sully's uncalled for Alex Jones level slander and propaganda a few weeks ago against yours truly, I was intrigued to hear Lenny Lane in an old Rob Feinstein shoot interview say that Disco was pushing for Lenny to play a character straight out of the film Fargo. I love that film and I like that idea for Lane. However, Lenny stated that he'd not want to play such a character at all, and he seemed to scoff at Disco's ideas. How serious was Disco in developing this idea for Lenny Lane? Was it going to be very much like William H. Macy's character in Fargo? Any stories on this proposed character would be interesting. Thank you. All the best. Now, first of all, the only thing about the character is that Lenny talked like the characters on that show. Kind of like Canadian, like the Minnesota guy, you know, the people that talk like there. So I would have had him just be like a Minnesota guy character, so... And that's only because we'd always joke with Lenny. That's how he spoke. He had that Minnesota accent, that kind of Canadian accent of stuff like so. But there was no depth or anything to the character. So I don't know. But Jared, you got through this kind of a lame email from you. Usually more controversial, but you're not suspended.
He doesn't want to be suspended again.
Okay. Next one is from Daniel Finch, and the subject is Cross versus Wyatt. Every time WWE has a new pay-per-view coming up, the dirt sheet gossip online is always, Bray Wyatt is coming back. At the same time, your boy Karrion Kross is tearing up on SmackDown and is clearly being pushed as a top guy. A matchup that was spoken about online for WrestleMania 39, Bray Wyatt versus Karrion Kross. Conan and Disco, if you're booking this match, who should go over? I only ask because it would be Kross's first WrestleMania, but it would be Bray Wyatt's first Mania in a while. Who do you think we're going to put over? The crossover, right?
Go ahead, Conan.
I don't know. I would have to think about this one, but probably Cross.
Right.
You want to keep him undefeated until he gets the Roman.
Right.
Yeah. Quick Disco. What WWE's done is they've been playing that Jefferson Airplane song, White Rabbit, like prior to shows, and it was such an odd song.
I think they're just trolling people.
Well, they did in a video promoting this character or whatever. You know, the countdown that they have ends Friday, so maybe Bray Wyatt's coming back Friday if he's indeed the mystery.
Well, it's a weird way they're doing it because they're doing it all on the house shows in between commercials.
Yeah.
No, but so, they gave like a cryptic date or some shit like that. Like right. Friday is when he shows up.
Yeah, and it said somebody
had said that Bray Wyatt in on Twitter had asked somebody about something, and like the something they asked about was White Rabbit related. Like so the online wrestling sleuths are invested into this is all part of it. I don't know. We'll see. I really didn't notice it. I just noticed it on Twitter. I haven't seen it on the show yet.
I do think it's going to be.
Well, they don't put it on the show. They put it like, you know, for the house.
Right. I mean, I think it's going to be Bray. All tips lead to that. But I also thought it was interesting that they're using the terminology White Rabbit. When isn't that what Cross played? A character called the White Rabbit or whatever in Lucha Underground? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they wouldn't do that. There's no way they would do something to reference
to
another company.
To Lucha Underground. I got
things they would. Right. Yeah, exactly.